Okay, let's resume. The time now is 10:43 a.m. and the board will now move on to the second agenda item, 2007-2008 number 30, restructuring of responsibilities of Colorado Water Resources and Power Development Authority. Again, we first want to make sure as a board that we understand the measure. So perhaps, Mr. Hamilton, I'll call upon you again to introduce yourself for the record, please. And if you have any introductory remarks you need to make to us, go ahead.
Please. My name is Richard Hamilton. I'm from Fairplay, Colorado. Now, I'd like to make, again, the sort of issue the caveat that the unofficial caption, restructuring the responsibilities of Colorado Water Resources and Power Development Authority, it is not the restructuring of responsibilities. It seeks to deauthorize the Colorado Water Resources and Power Development Authority. And I believe that is set within the corpus of the proposed title, but it's, I don't know what the unofficial captioning means. I'm not quite sure. It probably doesn't mean anything. It's probably just for record.
It's signed when you file the measure with the legislative staff, and it's just for ease of reference, no legal effect.
That doesn't appear anywhere in the title or summary clause.
Correct.
Yes, thank you.
Are there questions for Mr. Hamilton about the measure? I have, I think, quite a few, maybe. I really was struggling to try to understand some of the changes, and in particular the effect of some of the changes, and so let me kind of go through my notes about some of the questions that I had. It might help just to start, I mean, this is the way we sometimes start with single subject discussion, but let's start now, kind of. What is your statement of what the single subject of this measure is, and the purpose of this measure? There's two interconnected things, but if you could express each of those for me.
The Colorado Water Resources and Power Development Authority Act basically created an entity that was to assist with various water planning, project planning, project coordination, project financing. Some portions of those were overlapped existing Colorado state government programs and opportunities, particularly some within the Colorado Water Conservation Board, some also within the Colorado Department of Health, Health and Environment. The deauthorization, moving the Colorado Water Resources and Power Development Authority to a Colorado Water Resources and Power Development section or office within the Colorado Water Conservation Board, is a Type 3 transfer that is indicated in the Section 104 we have proposed here in new language, would clarify that all the programs for water resource development would emanate from within state government. That's it.
Well, and I want to kind of dwell on this a little bit and try to understand it as best I can. I mean, I think your expression of the single subject is, and it's consistent with the staff draft, which we haven't gotten to yet, but your expression of it is that it's the deauthorization of the authority. But
yes,
I'm much murkier on the purpose, because it seems like there's a lot of potentially, and I'll kind of touch upon some of these, potentially a number of things that are happening here, and I guess I want to be clear on what is the purpose of deauthorization. Is it, you know, for example, is it simply the elimination of duplication, or does it, contrary to that, does it change, or different from that, does it change water policy?
No. Does not change water policy. It merely eliminates a redundancy, or maybe a redundancy plus that is outside essentially the confines of existing state governmental function. It brings all those programs back within line agencies, departmental line agencies.
And the redundancy that you're describing, I mean, just help me understand that a little better. And I'm not trying to, I'm not looking at the merits of the measure, but I'm trying to understand the purpose again, because it's key to understanding the measure and how we go about setting titles. But the redundancy that you're talking about, is that, you know, to the extent the purpose is to eliminate that, are we talking about, I mean, right now, is that redundancy manifested in conflicts between the authority and other state agencies?
No.
What's going to be the effect of the change?
I believe that the public will have a much clearer understanding of the operation of the funding for water resource development projects than are now existent with the current Water Resources and Power Development Authority structure, with the structures within the State Health Department and with the structures within the Colorado Water Conservation Board, some being mandated legislatively, certain expenditures reviewed on an annual basis, other things operating outside and revolving loan fund programs, etc.
This is Bill Dogan, Citizens Progressive Alliance. I think some of the results we're really looking for behind this is more transparency, and I agree that there's some buzzword quality to these, but more transparency and more public involvement in how public monies are spent. This agency, as it now stands, has the ability to make loans up to $500 million without legislative approval, with very little public input. And we think that in times of huge fiscal foment, if we can believe the corporate press and what goes on at the state legislature, that those things are incompatible, and that we need more accountability, we need more transparency in government. And it, to us, it's just hideous that somebody has the ability to make hundreds of millions of dollars of loans of public money with very little oversight. And no, the approval process is within their own agency. And Referendum C asked the people of Colorado to give up $3 billion just a year ago, $36 billion. And this agency is sitting out there with revolving funds of over $1.5 billion. And there was no attempt to look at those people's expenditures or their funds to help the state of Colorado solve its financial problems. And I think we personally think that that needs to be corrected.
I would reiterate also that the way this legislative initiative has been structured, it does not eliminate government programs. It doesn't change law. It merely shifts existing programs to existing line agencies.
So, for example,
it just takes out the Water Resources and Power Development Authority as being essentially non-transparent and superfluous.
So, I mean, Mr. Dove said that going by the wayside then would be the ability of the authority to issue loans up to $500 million. That means some other state agency now does have that authority?
I don't believe that any state agency has that was the causal reason for having the Water Resources and Power Development Authority. But that's not a state program. That's the authority's program.
So one effect of the measure would be that, and I'm not quite sure I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like no longer would there be legal authority for some instrumentality of state government to issue loans for major water projects.
Well, what did you say, Phil?
That's not true. The Colorado Water Conservation Board has authority to make loans. Up until this legislative session, had the authority to make loans up to $5 million. There was a bill, I think, sponsored by Senator Iskar, to raise that limit to $25 million. I think there was a compromise, and I haven't really followed the legislation that closely, but I think it came through as $15 million. So what you've got are two state agencies. You know, you already got the Colorado Water Conservation Board making loans, I think, up to $15 million now, at subsidized rates, as they both do.
But the authority is issuing loans up to $500 million?
$500 million is their ceiling without having to come back to the legislature for approval.
The other thing I would mention is that most of the water resource development revenue bonds and general obligation bonds basically are the responsibility of municipalities, and they, they should seek the consent of their governed in order to spend their money. And the it would be far more transparent if a revenue bond for the town of Fairplay to do something with water quality coming out of the waste disposal treatment were just not voted on by a board of a Title 32 district, but that those people in Fairplay had the right to go ahead and vote the expenditures of their monies. So what happens is not only is there redundancy, and not only is there a lack of clarity, there's an active lack of citizen participation in the way the current body is structured. The best thing to do is deauthorize it, because the existence for the maintenance and the supervision of all those programs exists and still exists within state government. We do not at all do anything except deauthorize the Water Resources and Power Development Authority to this action.
Well, and for me, it's really important that I understand that a little better. And I apologize. I'm not knowledgeable in this area, so I may be asking a bunch of dumb questions.
A lot of people aren't.
But when looking through the measure, and I'll probably touch upon these, it seemed like there were a number of things I seem to see changes that led me to wonder if an overarching effect or purpose of the measure is to promote conservation at the expense of existing authority to promote water projects. And I think you're kind of confirming that. If the authority's, one of its roles is to make loans for water projects up to $500 million, and that's being eliminated, that would imply that would make it more difficult to promote water projects.
That's not their only sole source of seeking those funds. We're not trying to do anything with conservation. We're saying that, in fact, there exists an entity that is duplicative and that is not essentially highly transparent and doesn't involve we don't say, oh, we're going to cut down on the ability of special districts to go ahead and issue bonds. That's not what's going on here at all. We're saying merely and simply and absolutely that we seek the deauthorization of the Water Resources and Power Development Authority. There are other avenues and other programs that exist and are in operation that cover almost every part of that entity's activities.
Let me just add that this is Phil Doe. This is not a Luddite measure. I mean, the limit on $500 million is not a real ceiling. That limit is what they can make a loan up to $500 million without any external approval process. That includes the legislature, and that includes the public involvement, public hearings, etc. So what we're trying to do is lower the ceiling, their independence, not eliminate public works if that's what the municipalities and towns and counties want and the people want. What we're trying to do is get more accountability in that process and eliminate these huge conflicts as we see them, where people have a huge amount of public money to spend with very little accountability. And it seems to me that, and we're not sure about this, but it seems to us that the public is taking on this debt if something goes wrong with a big loan.
Well, let me just look at part of why I'm raising this, and that's the amendments in the legislative declaration, which currently in 3795.102 has a declaration of public policy. And your proposal eliminates some items. Specifically, it would apparently no longer be the policy of the state to upgrade, develop, utilize, and manage the water resources of the state to promote the beneficial use. I'm not sure what that means, but it's language like that that makes me look like there's a major change in policy here. You leave the language about water conservation, I believe. You conserve water resources. You leave that and eliminate the language that talks about developing, utilizing, and so forth.
Bill, can I go ahead and just say, what's the difference between beneficial use and use? putting beneficiary in there is, in fact, a buzzword. The use in under 16.6 of the Constitution is a usufruct right, and so that's beneficial. I mean, I don't understand. Okay. I don't know.
What about the other changes then?
Well, to conserve, preserve, protect, and conserve the water resources of the state. I think that that's exactly what all this is all about. The develop, utilize, and manage, those are probably activities that would be actions undertaken within the water resources and power development authority. Everybody preserves, protects, and conserves the waters of the state, promotes the use of the waters. I think that that was an effort on my part to not change state water policy, but to take out a bunch of superfluous words that are, in fact, restatements of... I've been doing this stuff at the state legislature on water policy now for about 32 years. I understand that we develop, and I understand we utilize. What's the difference between utilize and use? I mean, good Lord. This is just more of a clarification than it is an attack on the essentialist state of water rights. By the way, this is buzzwords down here. Create, preserve jobs, employment, and opportunities to improve the economic welfare of the people of the state. Well, if you look at the original Nichols v. Juncker, the reason that Justice Halleck did that was he said that the dominant estate was water. Property in those estates were subservient. And that, by the way, we needed the development of water to have a state instead of just an arid and barren place. So that's been one Colorado 195 or something. I believe it's in the first sessions of all our... there's no manner here to change the policy of... And by the way, public policy, why would I strike public policy? I don't understand. If there's a difference between policy and public policy, I think that there's no difference.
Could you speak specifically to the striking of the word upgrade and also develop, those striking of those two words?
To promote, by down here in line three, and to promote the use of waters certainly means to upgrade. It certainly includes upgrade, but just a simplification of the statute.
That's in a different set. Well, I mean, you're eliminating a statement of public policy to upgrade the water resources. And granted, you're retaining a public policy to promote the use of the waters.
Yep.
But that would be existing waters as opposed to upgrading.
If you can find more than the existing waters here in Colorado, everybody would be real, real happy. And I'm not being facetious. This thing doesn't change. It just eliminates an awful lot of superfluous sort of pretty words in the statute. They sound grand. They don't do anything to enhance the policy.
Well, let me skip ahead to another legislative declaration, and the pages aren't numbered, but it's actually, I numbered mine. It's page 12 out of about 27 or 28 pages, but it's specifically, there's another legislative declaration, 107.5.
7.5?
37-95-107.5.
Okay.
This is in the middle of the page.
Yes, let's say specific project authorization, repealed.
And here the entire legislative declaration is being repealed, and that declaration in current law declares public policy to include various things, including fostering the full utilization of Colorado's limited water resources through the operation of the appropriation system as provided in the Constitution. There's language here about judicial interpretations and so forth. So, I mean, what's the effect of eliminating this declaration of public policy? I mean, I don't see anything that's tied directly to the authorization of the authority here. Why would you not leave that declaration of public policy?
It's in the authority statutes, of course.
Right.
Contrary. Water rights prohibition. Well, it's certainly in the doctrine of maximum utilization in other places. It's also probably within, as Phil says, within CWCB statutes. And in one sense or another, and by the way, I think that section 5 doesn't really of 16 doesn't really discuss appropriation. I think that 5 of 16 basically says that the water is the property of the public. 16.6 is the article that says deals with appropriations. So there's an error in this 3795-1075, essentially.
And I'm just dense. I'm still not understanding why you would repeal this legislative declaration. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with the authority itself.
It's in other places. I mean, the doctrine of maximum utilization is a clear enunciation in statute, and it merely because it's here reiterated and then taken out of this because it's within the Water Resources and Power Development Authority doesn't do any violence to the adoption of the doctrine of maximum utilization and other parts of statute.
Let me move to a different section.
Sure.
It's all part of the same theme, I guess, but I'm skipping back to the definition of project on the second page. That you're amending the definition of project. You're leaving the language that says that it means any water management facility or hydroelectric facility, striking the language that says including undivided or other interest therein acquired or constructed or to be acquired or constructed by the authority under this article. And I understand you're eliminating the authority.
Yep, that's
but again, this is another thing where it, you know, when I asked about is one of the underlying purposes here to restrict or eliminate future water projects.
No.
This seems the amended definition seems to retain reference to what I would assume is existing facilities,
well,
as opposed to future facilities.
Which one is that? What? Where are you on page?
Subsection 10 on the second page, the definition of project.
10. Well, one of the things that happens within the Water Resources and Power Development Authority is the Water Resources and Power Development Authority is able to commit water resources and various project activities as security for bonds. And I'm not so sure that there's ever been anything that I've ever understood in constitutional firmament or anything that allows the dedication by a bond issuing entity to go ahead and use the waters of the state of the people of the state of Colorado as security. The water rights, maybe, not the waters. The waters belong to the public. They're undivided. As Justice Rehnquist said in Sporhausen, Nebraska, you can't reduce that to property. But you can't go ahead and put liens on the people's water.
Okay. Well, I'm not. I don't know. I don't want to belabor that point. I'm not quite sure. Not quite digesting the answer, but it does relate. I think what you're saying may relate to maybe my last question that I'd actually written down anyway. And then now I'm skipping back to towards the end. It's about the fourth to the last page, and it's section 3795-114, the bottom portion of one of the last pages.
Yes.
And it's guaranteed by state not to limit or alter rights or powers vested in the authority. And the measure would repeal a pledge on the part of the state to the bondholders not to alter the rights that are currently vested in the authority in a way that would jeopardize the rights of those bondholders. And so
I'm not sure it jeopardizes the rights of the bondholders, but again, this is legislative. The 3795 statutes are legislative, and this would be stipulates it's the people's right to go ahead and provide legislation. I think that that's a correct authority to be able to repeal that.
But if are there any bonds issued by the authority right now?
Yes, there are about 292 for about $1.6 billion. But those bonds are probably issued through municipalities, government entities.
So you're saying that the pledge in this section 114 on the part of the state not to alter the rights of those bondholders does not apply.
I don't think the rights of the bondholders are going to be altered.
So the no rights of bondholders would be affected by the repeal of section 114.
I am not privy to how exactly each one of those bonds is written, but I am not Kutak, Rock, and Campbell. I'm not Mudge Rose. I don't review each one of those. But at the same time, there's a guarantee in statute by the legislature not to alter the rights or the powers vested in the authority. And what this does is say, listen, we as the people of the state of Colorado, in our inherent right to legislate, we do not believe that that section right there is an exigent section. And most of those things should be done by municipalities. Those bonds and loan programs should be done by state agencies, not by something. And by the way, the legislature, if this passes, the legislature could go right back in and say on top of that we as the legislature of the state of Colorado clearly specify that these powers shall be retained for those bondholders.
And I'm sorry, why would they, if you've just repealed it in a citizen initiative, why would the General Assembly come back and reenact it?
Well, if they had extraordinary reason to enact it, they could so do so. But the legislative initiative is different in its power than its constitutional initiative. And so we do not say in this, for instance, that everything is self-executing and self-enacting. Self-executing and self-enacting means that the legislature basically can't touch it and get near it. This is legislative initiative, not constitutional initiative. And by the way, if this creates some abhorrent power problem in the past, I think that the legislature has authority to proceed.
Well, I'll stop asking questions for now. I'm just as a general comment.
You're troubled by these.
I'm struggling with it. I mean, I understand I understand the measure to the extent that it deauthorizes the authority and makes transfers to other agencies. But
yes.
But there's these other things that seem to be going on, and it's important as a board member that I understand whether or not those constitute separate purposes or subjects. And
we certainly had no intent to. We want to deauthorize the authority and its protections and operations. So we want to go ahead. We're not interested in changing state water policy within this issue whatsoever. We're not making new law. We're just saying that there exists in various other governmental places the statutory words as well as the operations and program management that fully allow these activities to proceed. That the Colorado Water Resources Power Development Authority is essentially a very, very, very non-transparent redundancy.
Further questions, Mr. Domenico?
I think I just have one question that I think is related, and that is, what are you trying to do here, or put another way, why not just repeal all of Article 95? What are you trying to do with this that you couldn't accomplish by just repealing, saying we repeal the whole thing?
You have to have things like the drinking fund, revolving loan fund program, which is federally enabled. You have to have, not only Safe Drinking Water Act, the Clean Water Act. You have to have certain kinds of, you got to make sure that certain of the, you want to make it a Type 3 transfer so that the contracts and the officers and the obligations and everything are assumed directly to the transferee from the transferor. I think they've just struck 3795 in total. You would create a train wreck. You have to go through it piece by piece by piece and suggest that you really want to protect the public's interest and the public's trust and the public's activities, and you want to make sure that these programs still exist, but you want to go ahead and get rid of the one non-essential thing that is there as a redundancy. So if you take the whole thing apart, if you just eliminate things, I think you just create a train wreck. I mean, just that would just be horribly irresponsible.
Further questions, Mr. Carton?
Just a couple of follow-up questions on Mr. Hobbs's kind of purpose-directed questions. You said that there is approximately 200 odd bonds to the tune of $1.6 billion outstanding. But those are the responsibility of municipalities. How does that work?
Well, that's pretty interesting.
Relevant to the authority's role, how does the authority I'm presuming has a role in facilitating the issuance of those bonds by the municipalities. But you're saying that the bonds are issued by the municipalities rather than the authority, or I just am curious.
For instance, in the Colorado Water Resources Park Development Authority All Programs Loan Status Report, let's go to one of my favorites. The borrower number 3, the City of Aurora, the borrower is the City of Aurora. The outstanding balance is $100 million. The is it current? We can't tell. The original amount of loan is $100 million. The loan rate is 4.35. The loan date is 9/29/05. And the final payment date is 7/27/35. And so what that leads me to believe is that there is a revenue bond of $100 million that was issued under the name of the City of Aurora. And it's a S-bond. I assume that that's a sewer bond. But I don't know that for a fact. Is that what it means? Oh, payment frequency, semi-annual. This indicates that there are 252 of these bonds that are outstanding. Some are general obligation, but mainly they seem to be revenue bonds.
I guess maybe to focus my question in more, I think Mr. Hobbs was asking, isn't the authority on the hook, or hasn't the authority issued some bonds, and what will happen with those bonds if the authority goes away? Because it's my understanding as a general proposition, and I am no public financing guru by any stretch of the imagination, but that the state statutorily sets up these types of special purpose authorities because they operate independently of, they're not a state agency, they have powers inherent, including bonding authority, that enables them to engage in financing activities that the state otherwise couldn't. And included in those powers is the power to issue bonds. And I'm assuming, again, that the authority, and it's my understanding generally that the authority partners with local governments in connection with certain water projects. But I guess I still am not clear on what happens with all of the bonds that the authority has either issued or has backed that, what happens then when the authority is, and I suppose the General Assembly could go in statutorily
go back a little bit further into the process than where you are. How come the city of Aurora does not go to its public and ask for $100 million worth of bonding authority?
Well, I don't.
And why?
That's not my question.
But it's our question. And why then does the state of Colorado authorize an independent authority to violate the will and the purposes and the awareness of the people of authority and the spending of the people of Aurora's money?
Well, I appreciate your
right?
Kind of the policy or that you're advancing here, but I'll say again that I'm not clear, and as I'm sure it will come out, what the impact is on existing obligations if the authority is abolished, and I also wanted to follow up on one of Mr. Hobbs's, I think his line of reasoning was going on. As far as the purpose goes, is it accurate to say that the elimination of the authority will diminish the resources available for these types of projects and thereby indirectly promote water conservation?
No. What happens with that is the bonds are issued under the name of the city of Aurora. The bonds are not issued under the Water Resources Power Development Authority. The Water Resources and Power Development Authority does certain kinds of management of the Safe Drinking Water Act and Clean Water Act, but the revenue bonds for utility extensions and all the rest of these things are under the City of Aurora. The City of Aurora can go ask its people. This is a clarity and a desire to have participation by the public whose money is being spent on these things.
Let me jump in here just a second. I don't know if you're familiar with the report that was done by the University of Denver Business College about the threats to Colorado and what its economic future looks like. One of the things that they thought was most threatening to the state of Colorado was that while we have a relatively low state income tax, we have all of these taxing entities built on top of that. And so when you look at all of these taxing entities on top of state income tax, the tax load to the people of Colorado becomes fairly extensive. What we're trying to do with one of the things that will result from this legislation is that the people will have more direct involvement before new taxes are levied on them through revenue bonds, which they don't have a chance to vote on. If it's a general obligation bond, you come to the people, like for schools, the people have to vote because they have, you know. And so that's one of the results of this, is that you get away from these behind the mask kind of indebtedness that the public is experiencing and make it more transparent and more open. And it doesn't limit the amount of money. I mean, if it's a good investment, I know a lot of bond guys down there, they'll find the money for it.
Double tax exempts, sir.
Yeah,
nice.
I mean, if it's a good investment. And that's the kind of transparency we're looking for. We're not trying to, but it is rather odd that we have the concept of smart growth in this state, but yet you have an agency out there with the ability to make loans up to $500 million without somebody's approval. You can't have both. I mean, if smart growth is a meaningful concept, then let's make it meaningful.
And I guess I'll just go back. I'm still unclear. It sounds as though I'm still not clear on what the authority is doing here. If the municipalities are issuing all the bonds, then I'm not sure what the objection is with the authority's power to do it.
Why do we need the authority?
Let me move on, if I may. I just have a question on a definition, governmental agencies. You've struck municipal corporations from the definition of governmental agencies and other political subdivisions in the United States or any agency thereof. And I was wondering,
you know why?
Yes. Why? That was my question. No, I don't know why.
I thought I'd get to that. One of the things that's terribly interesting in local government finance laws are the abilities of the so-called 6320 corporations. The Internal Revenue Service in 1963 issued Ruling 20 that said that nonprofit corporations or non-government operations could act as government entities and will be able to issue tax exempt bonds if the end of the bond period, at the end of the corpus, physical characters reverted to the government again. The 6320 corporation is a great, big, huge sidestep of, and they're used increasingly. I'll give you an example. We in Park County just built a county jail correctional facility, 220 beds. The Board of County Commissioners acted as the directors, president, treasurer, vice president of a local nonprofit corporation. They acted as the Board of County Commissioners. So at one time, the Board of County Commissioners signed contracts with themselves as the head of the local nonprofit to go ahead and issue bonds for the construction of 220-bed jail facility, and then stepped back on the other side of the table and became county commissioners again and approved the contract that they had just signed with themselves, but being a different entity. I think that what happens with all of this is we have such lack of clarity in all these kinds of activities that what we need to do is deauthorize the Water Resources and Power Development Authority so that there's very, very clear objectives.
Let me state the question differently, and I'll in section 3795.107.8 of the measure, and I'm sorry, I didn't put the page numbers
Bill
did, but in 3795.107.8, subsection 3, it's now that provision now, that's the provision that says, under the new language, the Colorado Department of Health, the Colorado Department of Public Health, are you there? It's sub 3795.107.8. Subsection 3.
All right, Colorado Department of Health.
Yes. Colorado, now, previously was the authority, but now the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment Drinking Water Revolving Fund Director may make, subject to provisions adopted by the General Assembly, loans to governmental agencies. Mm-hmm. Under the old law, the authority could make loans to governmental agencies, including municipal corporations. Under this change to sub 3 and to the change of the definition of governmental agencies, the department through the director may no longer make loans to municipal corporations because they have been excluded from the definition of governmental agency. Is that correct?
Well, convoluted. Let me go ahead and see where it is. Which definition were you talking about, sir?
Governmental agencies definition, which is, it is 3795.103, and this would be about, this is on page 2 of the measure.
Governmental agencies.
Right.
The purpose of the article means departments of state government, special district, and water conservation districts, municipal corporations, instructing, counties and cities are still there. So I don't understand your question.
Why did you strike municipal corporations?
I just told you, 6320 corporations can act essentially outside of the public purview. This is a whole.
Let me state that question different. Do you think that cities covers municipal corporations?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't think the cities does cover municipal corporations.
Okay. I have nothing further.
Further questions?
What we're trying to do is get rid of a big non-transparent redundancy that has opportunities within existing statute, existing situations. We're not trying to change state water policy or create mayhem. We certainly wouldn't wish to eliminate the whole 3795 statute.
Let's move on to the question of single subject. I mean, an awful lot of this is probably touching upon it, and I will tell you, I'm not there yet as far as whether this measure comprises a single subject. I mean, it seems to me there's more here than just deauthorizing the authority. I mean, and part of what I hear the proponent saying is that The authority is kind of a redundancy. The things that the authority accomplishes can be accomplished in other ways, and it's almost, forgive the use of the word, it's almost a housekeeping measure. Since there's other authorities that can take care of this, this is sort of an administrative transfer, and we're simply eliminating redundancy. And yet, it seems like both from the statements of the proponents as well as various provisions, the way various provisions are handled in the measure, that there are other things going on besides that. I mean, so for example, part of what I hear, and understand that I'm trying to find a unifying purpose for purposes of finding that the measure is a single subject, and in trying to find that unifying purpose is probably where I'm struggling the most. On the one hand, I hear proponents saying a purpose is to eliminate redundancy. On the other hand, I think I hear a proponent saying that the authority is sort of outside citizen fiscal control. There's no votes required. It's not transparent. It seems to go beyond simply the elimination of kind of duplicate legal authority and really go towards something more than that. But even then, if that's all it was regardless of the purpose in deauthorizing the authority, that would probably still be a single subject or single purpose. It's just that I'm confused. I feel like I'm hearing conflicting, inconsistent purposes of the measure. In any event, to the extent that a major purpose is to deauthorize the commission, it still seems like that there's other things going on, possibly many other things going on in the measure. And I appreciate Mr. Domenico's question, because it still seems like if this were simply a question of repealing the act and then transferring or, you know, recreating certain things elsewhere, there would have been another way to do it. Instead, the measure makes some odd, and I don't mean odd in the sense of critical, but odd in the sense of inconsistent with the purpose of deauthorizing the authority. The measure makes some odd choices, and I'm still troubled by the amendments to the legislative declaration, for example, where the statutory public policy is retained with respect to the public policy of preserving, protecting, and conserving water resources, but the public policy is being amended by eliminating from public policy the upgrading, development, and so forth of water resources. And that seems to be a separate purpose, the impairment of the rights of the bondholders. I'm not sure why it's there. I don't understand it, but it seems like that's hard for me to understand in terms of deauthorizing the authority. So I don't know. I mean, to some degree, it's either that the measure seems to have multiple purposes that are not connected to one another, or I simply don't understand the measure well enough. And I'm referring back to notes from prior cases. I know there are cases that say that where a measure is difficult to understand, such that it's difficult to determine a single subject, the court has said that the board cannot set titles for a measure, and that's kind of where I am right now. Either I do understand it well enough to believe that there's multiple purposes, or I don't understand it. But either way, I can't express a single subject.
There is in statute one special water development authority. They start off by reiterating the state water policy that is enunciated in probably dozens of different places, statutorily. By the elimination of that language in there, you're not going to change the state water policy. You're going to change the state water policy as it may relate to the Water Resources and Power Development Section Division Board within the Colorado Water Conservation Board. But you're not going to go ahead and change state water policy by this. You couldn't do it by just eliminating this. I mean, there's document maximum utilization and all the rest of those stuff, they're enunciated everywhere.
But why didn't you just repeal 102 instead of pick and choose which public policies that you want to retain?
Maybe that would have, in retrospect, maybe that would have been more wise. But the what is the difference between utilize and use? I certainly don't know what that difference would be. So why did they put it in the original bill? It was just fluff. It didn't have anything to do with substantial state water policy. It was advertising. We didn't change state water policy whatsoever by the amendment of this legislative declaration. And as far as the, we made no assault on bondholders other than saying that the state in, what was it, 117 you had here? The guarantee in 114. The state does hereby pledge and agree to the holders of the notes that the state will not limit or alter the rights and powers vested in this article. That's just a modification of this article, and it's also a modification by the public who has the right within the initiated process to make modifications. I don't think that there's any... We didn't do anything except start out to deauthorize the Water Resources and Power Development Authority. Okay.
Before I turn to further discussion by the board, I don't have anybody else signed up to testify, but again, I want to give the public an opportunity if anybody wishes to testify on the question of whether the measure complies with a single subject provision. Now's the time to speak up. So in any event, let's continue then with board discussion on single subject compliance, if there is any.
Can I just say something?
Mr. Doe.
You know, in my mind, perhaps it doesn't work exactly like yours, and you know, it's part of being human, I suppose. But our only purpose in this, it's a single purpose, is to deauthorize the authority. And that was all. What we were trying to do was take care of certain intricacies that have developed over time because of this authority's existence to make sure that the deauthorization was as commodious as possible. That's all we were trying to do. I mean, there's no hidden agenda here. I mean, there just isn't. We want more public accountability, and we think this gives it to us. Because these people have a lot of money, and they are very much outside the public surveillance mechanisms. And that's all we're trying to do.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Well, just I think I'm okay on the single subject on this. I understand that the concern about making both a change in structure of government and substantive policy changes, as I've expressed, can run up against two subjects. But it seems to me that if you're deauthorizing a entity, part of whose stated purpose is to encourage all the create or preserve jobs or encourage development of water projects, if you're deauthorizing that, it seems to me to be a natural part of that deauthorization that you're to some extent changing that policy behind that entity no longer exists. You're transferring a few of the functions that authority had to some other existing government entities that have their own, maybe it's the same, similar, slightly different legislative declarations. So that part of it I think I'm comfortable with. I think the section 114 sort of concerned me at first, but it does seem to me that I think you have to get rid of that if you're going to get rid of the authority, because that essentially says we are not going to get rid of the authority. So if you're getting rid of the authority, you sort of have to eliminate a statute that says we're not going to get rid of it. The one thing that does give me a little pause is I think what's going on here, as I'm trying to picture it, is eliminating an authority, taking a few of these functions that it's got and giving them to other entities. That I don't have a problem with. My concern is, as this change in governmental entities is what brought it out, you're not quite just transferring certain of the authorities' obligations and responsibilities. You're also sort of altering what they are when they go to this new entity, now all of a sudden they can't give loans to certain entities that they formerly could. But I'm not really sure that's a different subject so much as maybe something we need to be concerned about, whether it needs to be expressed that if you're taking away most of the functions of the authority, giving a few of them, but not all, that seems like one subject to me, even if you're giving some and taking a little bit away at the same time. And so I think I'm okay on the single subject of deauthorizing the water authority and transferring certain of its functions to other governmental entities is sort of what I would, the best that I can come up with to express the single subject of the measure.
Pardon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess to be guided by several, I think, relevant legal principles and decisions in determining whether or not a measure as a single subject. Courts has said that despite the comprehensive nature of an initiative, it may still satisfy the single subject requirement if, one, the text of the initiative encompasses a single subject, and two, the initiative does not attempt to further two or more unconnected purposes. That was NRA proposed initiative bingo raffle license 1 and 2, 915 P2D 1320. An initiative that has separate and unconnected purposes will not be saved by a proponent's attempt to characterize the initiative under an overarching theme. That was the holding, kind of a base principle in NRA proposed initiative 2001-02 number 43, 46 P3rd 438. And then more moving towards some of Mr. Hobbs's comments, the court has held that where the board has acknowledged that it cannot comprehend the initiatives well enough to state their single subject in the titles, the initiatives cannot be forwarded to the voters and must instead be returned to the proponent. And that's NRA title for 1999-2000, number 2527 through 27, 974, P2D 458. And if the initiative cannot be comprehended well enough to state its single subject in the title, it cannot. And I'd say that again. If the initiative cannot be comprehended well enough to state its single subject in the title, it cannot be forwarded to the voters and must be returned to the proponent. Again, that more or less is the same principle as I stated. And that's NRA title for 1999-2000, number 44, 977 P2D 856. I would agree with the comments of Mr. Hobbs that, and initially was raised by Mr. Domenico, that if all the proponents were doing was eliminating or deauthorizing the authority, that to me the single purpose or an overarching purpose would be clear and would be consistent with most of the comments of the proponents here today. The fact that a number of surgical changes have been made, either striking language that Mr. Hobbs has pointed out to various statements of policy and directives, or giving the state now authority to do some of what the Water Resources and Development, the Power Development Authority previously did, except for some of the entities that may avail itself themselves of those particular financing arrangements. The fact that it's unclear what the effect is on outstanding obligations either of the authority or of public entities that are involved with the authority, to me, there are other purposes that either intentionally, directly or indirectly or unintentionally, kind of emit from the changes, the surgical changes that have been made to the text of Article 95 of Title 37. And I think that Mr. Hobbs said that, that for him there were either multiple purposes or that he can't understand the measure well enough to express a single subject. And I think that's where I am right now. The staff draft says an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the deauthorization of the Water Resources and Power Development Authority. You know, if we get past this hurdle, I'm not sure that accurately at this point. It may be the best that could be written for purposes of discussion, but I'm not convinced that, kind of in light of the court's decision, that I can comprehend well enough exactly what all of the implications or purposes are from the amendments made to the statute, that I could state a single subject for this particular measure. And so that's...
Can I address that?
Go ahead.
The at 3795.104, it's titled Establishment of Authority, Board of Directors, Removal, Organization, Compensation, Dissolution. At paren 7A, B, and C, which are new additions, the former Water Resources and Power Development Authority is deauthorized, its former activities terminated by the voters of the state of Colorado. B, activities and services of the Water Resources and Power Development Authority shall terminate July 1, 2009, upon the certification by the state auditor that the authority has no debts or obligations outstanding. And C, CRS 241.105.3 and 241.105.4 specifying Type 3 transfers for all or parts of an abolished, deauthorized units, powers, duties, functions, records, personnel, unexpended balances of appropriations, allocations, other funds within an existing unit being abolished, and all the former unit's effects are being transferred. So this says in black letter in 3795.104 paren 7, it's deauthorized. It terminates, and it terminates upon certification by the state auditor, and everything within it is Type 3 transferred to other state agencies. I think that that's very simple. I think it's a very simple subject. I think it's very, very direct. I don't know what's so hard to figure out about that. Just parenthetically on my point of view.
Well, it might be the next 25 pages that are hard to figure out.
You might talk to the original drafter of the statutes that created this.
I agree.
Well, and I to follow up on what Mr. Carton was saying, I like his phrase surgical changes, because that, and I want to make it clear, that's part of where my difficulty lies, is the choices that are made and how to relate them to the single subject. And there were others that I didn't mention that are, it's hard for me to, as I go through page by page, seeing what is retained and what is stricken and what portions are stricken, and it's hard for me to tie those to the authorization of the commission. And I don't want to belabor this, but for purposes of being helpful to proponents, I'd at least like to point out one more. There's at least two different places that continue to authorize loans, and I think one is 107.6, subsection 3, which instead of the authority doing this, it says the Water Pollution Control Revolving Fund director may make loans, you know, to governmental agencies and so forth.
Well, you certainly want that to be left in there.
And yet, there's language stricken towards the end of this that provides for a financial analysis of the loans, you know, an analysis of the capacity to repay a loan and the need for financial assistance and so forth. And I'm just giving you an example. I couldn't understand why that would be stricken and the rest of this would be retained.
Bill, bond counsel and bond underwriters will make sure that those things happen. There is not going to be a Water Resources and Power Development Authority that directs the Department of Local Affairs to do those kinds of analysis. Those analyses are outside of the government purview. They're within the financial market purview.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying I'm not sure how that ties into deauthorization of the authority. You know, and just to drill down even lower, I think even in that section, you retain language that says that there will be a financial analysis by the Division of Local Government, but then over in 107.8, subsection 3, which is another loan provision that deals with the Drinking Water Revolving Fund Director making loans to government agencies, you strike similar language, but it's not exactly the same. There you I want to make sure I'm comparing apples and apples, but in the first case, you strike the provision for financial analysis, I think. In the second one, you leave it, but then you strike some other language. And again, there may be good reasons for doing those things, but I'm not quite sure how to tie them to a central purpose of the measure.
If you have the State Department of Health operating a revolving loan fund program, they're not going to do financial analysis of the bonds are going to be issued. If you have something going on at the Colorado Water Conservation Board, you may well have the Department of Local Affairs, Division of Local Governments, doing certain kinds of analysis because it's necessary. These, as you call them, surgical strikes, are not merely ad hoc strikes. They have to do with, if you would read this in its total comprehension, it takes out the language that dealt with the authorities' actions and opportunities. It doesn't go ahead and make new law. It doesn't change the responsibilities. The bonds are going to be issued by bond underwriters and through activities of bond councils. I'm sure that they'll have infinite amount of protections. I think what you have is a difficulty grasping that the authority has had the ability to insinuate itself between a local government and a bonded indebtedness activity and the bond agents. You got to strike that in, or else you strike the whole thing. And then what happens is you end up with nothing in 3745, and you are in real trouble because you have terminated safe drinking water, you've terminated certain kinds of things that have to do with sewage and utility extensions. You had to go through this thing and surgically cut it apart. There's no way not to have done it. Bring in an initiative that says you're taking out, you're deauthorizing 3795-101 exec, you'd create a nightmare in the state. You have to be able to do it one way or the other.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to go over each one of these. I still don't understand why you would not retain the language of a financial analysis of the ability to repay a loan.
If the Water Resources and Power Development Authority had, it's not going to be.
Well, but you're retaining that same authority. You're just transferring from one agency to another the authority to make those loans. But striking the language about financial analysis, and you're telling me it's because bond council will do that anyway. But that's, again, why not just retain that, though? If your purpose was simply to deauthorize the authority, why not retain that language? Since those loans are, you intend those loans to continue, you're just transferring the loan authority.
But you're not doing violence to anything by striking. It's a complicated statute. And you and I share the wonder at its various permutations and combinations.
Well, and the fact that, I'll go back to what Mr. Carton was pointing out, and I was referring to as well, is that to some degree, if the board, there's case law to the effect, if the board members cannot understand a measure well enough to glean a single subject, then we can't set a title. And now, okay, I don't understand it well enough, but I don't want that to be because of my lack of comprehension or lack of subject matter knowledge here, and it could be, but I really don't understand it well enough. So
there's probably not one in 10,000 people out there in the part of it. And it does say right there in 3795-104, it's deauthorized. It ends at this time upon the certification of the state auditor. There's nothing outstanding or no problem. And by the way, it's a Type 3 transfer. Everything that goes to different entities and different agencies, and state government works Type 3 transfers all the time.
And if that's all that this measure was doing, I think I'd be fine. But it's just so much, so many other things, as Mr. Domenico said, it's the remaining pages that I can't, and that I see the surgical changes that Mr. Carton was referring to that I can't quite determine. So I can't quite understand. So in any event, is there any other discussion on the question of single subject? If not, is there a motion? For discussion, I'll make a motion that the board deny title setting on the basis of single subject.
Second.
Discussion?
No, I've expressed that I think it fairly fits within a single subject, so I would vote against that motion.
If there's no other discussion, then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. That completes action on number 30. The time is 11:53 a.m. We'll be in recess until 1:30 this afternoon, when we'll take up the last agenda item, which is number 31. So, thank you.
Thank you.